This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Love the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this 112-degree Phoenix day out here in the Valley of the Sun. And last week we talked with TJ, and we're going to be continuing that conversation with him. He is a native of Phoenix, the oldest of seven siblings. He was raised by a single mother and found Christ 28 years ago. He is an ordained minister and evangelist, and his blended family consists of his wife of 4 years and their five children. And last week, TJ shared the first part of his story, how he grew up with an alcoholic father who physically beat his mother, and they ended up getting divorced when he was young. He had a near-death experience in a river, and he's been through quite a lot. And then there was in a relationship when he was 19 with a 15-year-old girl that ended up getting him legal trouble. So he's been through quite a bit. And so, TJ, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor and blessing.
So I want to start, since you've been through, you've paid a high price with legal troubles with what you went through. And people, we're seeing these days, more and more people are coming to us who are right on the edge of that. Some who have been involved with child pornography, some where there had been, the kids have been molested, all different things. And this is, it's getting darker and darker out there. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that lust will take you where you never thought it would. And that we don't need to talk about porn because it's just a few people. You're just watching pictures. Matt, what's the big deal, right? Speak to that, to the person who thinks, hey, no big deal. We don't need to address pornography in church.
Well, Mike, actually, if I may, the second part of my story is going to answer your question why it's so important to keep on top of making sure that you're resisting lust. Mm. You know, just if I could rewind a little bit, as I had mentioned, I had met my wife online. We had met in 2017. We started our committed romantic relationship at 2018. We ended up having, there was three children that were not biologically mine that all of a sudden within less than a month of time, I realized I was going to be a father figure to. She had two, and then unfortunately her sister had passed away not quite 1 month into our relationship, and she brought her niece back. And then about 10 months later, we had our first child together, a son.
And how old were your wife's kids?
So her nephew was 9 at the time. Her daughter was 7, and then her niece was 7. Mm-hmm. And of course, so a year later, everybody turns a year older, and we had our son. And so at that time, you know, if you fast forward a little bit, in 2020, we eventually got married, you know, got it right before the Lord. My wife actually had been pregnant with our second child when we got married. Ended up being a baby girl. She was 3 months pregnant at the time. And we got, again, married 9 days right before COVID became public. Now, the reason I keep saying that is right after COVID, you know, took place, that's when, you know, all hell broke loose in a sense. You know, the first couple weeks, everybody, you know, no one knew exactly what was going on, what COVID was really about, and everyone was nervous. And so all the churches closed down. You know, of course, you know, everybody had to wear masks and so on and so forth. And so I actually, you know, remember, you know, being, you know, in a store In one store, I was good for 10, 15 minutes wearing a mask. And I went to another store 5 minutes after that. I felt lightheaded and dizzy, and I had to take the mask off. And so from that point forward, I was one of those people that they thought I was spreading the disease because, you know, I couldn't wear the mask. It just was too much for me. And so anywhere I went out in public, I was being confronted all the time, you know, and it was just a lot of arguments. Even my wife would get frustrated and say, why don't you just stay in the car instead of going to grocery? I'm like, well, I have the freedom. I should be able to go into the store too. So that brought a lot of stress to our early marriage. And then, of course, it was like July of 2020 when our daughter was born. And it was right before that, about a month before that, I was seeking the Lord in prayer. And I felt like, you know, something has to be done because I had read the emergency declaration that the governor put out. And right in the middle of that six-page declaration, it said that churches were exempt. They didn't have to abide to all these emergency things and close down the churches and stuff. So I became very angry at the churches and the world in general about the way COVID was being handled. And so I decided to go ahead and start a Bible study from our own home, a prayer meeting, fellowship and Bible study. And that went on. We would meet like every other week.
So talk a little bit more. Why were you so angry about what churches were doing at that time?
Because that's a key important thing. I was a part of a church that the men would meet once a week on Saturday mornings. And it was such a blessing to me. From 8 to 10, my wife is African-American. And the church I was going to was a majority African-American congregants. And so I was learning about, you know, how to frankly deal with a black woman, African-American woman, and from them, because most of them were married to black women. And so for me, I lost that fellowship. And not having that time of prayer and that fellowship and that accountability with my brothers and the Lord, it really impacted me. And not be able to go to church regularly and have that really affected me. The isolation level was just intense. And so that's why I decided to go ahead and start, you know, a little prayer meeting Bible study at our home. It ended up eventually being every other week, and it was about to be every week. But with our newborn baby, my wife told me, frankly, it was just becoming too much for her. And so I just said, okay, I'm just going to shut it down. And when I did that, that's when I became very angry with my wife. And this is a part to answer your question that you answered earlier. At that point in time, I began to act out very inappropriate sexually. I won't give in detail, but because I wasn't guarding my eyes, I wasn't being accountable to any brothers, and I was angry at the world, at the churches, at my wife, I went back, as the Bible says, a dog goes back to its own vomit. And the thing that I did, actually, I ended up confessing to my wife, and she shared with a family member, and the family member ended up reporting it, and law got involved again. This was intense. I pretty much thought, with my background, already have one felony background, that I was going to be pretty much done. And my wife ended up telling me that she, you know, she was like really about to leave me. But she said if she left me, she would just bring in her own issues into a next marriage. And she had to work on her own issues as well. And she said that she's choosing to forgive me. And she's the one that had the faith enough to forgive me and to actually believe that God was going to intervene and not allow me to get in trouble, legal trouble for what I had done. And so
she forgave you how long after this all blew up?
About a week and a half, 2 weeks.
That quick?
Yep, about, I'd say, a week and a half, 2 weeks. She chose to forgive me and to believe God for the Lord to intervene. And so it got to the point where we were actually physically separated for about 3 months. That was so painful because I already had flashbacks in my head thinking, wow, like now I'm not in my, you know, children's lives. I was thinking in my head, I'm going to be in prison. And I'm going to be a father from prison for the rest of my life. And, but we, you know, my wife stood strong and believed God. It got to the point where I even, was selling our house and moving her, and our family into a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment, thinking that, you know, we weren't going to be able to keep the house. And, so as that was taking place, we were actually just cleaning up a house, getting it emptied, almost done. And on August 3rd, the day before my birthday, the county actually wrote a letter, and it arrived on August the 5th, the day after my birthday. And my wife went out to check the mail, and she came in and she handed me the letter. And she's like, here's what you've been waiting for, the letter you've been waiting for. And I looked at it, and it said that there was no evidence found. And as long as no new evidence comes up the next 30 days, the case would be closed. And and I hit my knees and start crying before the Lord, because, Mike, it was only like 2 months before that when my wife was, you know, set on moving to San Antonio, and everybody was out of the house, and the house was empty, and I was, you know, decided to stay a night that night in the house, and I couldn't even sleep that night. But I remember at that spot in the living room, I prayed and I interceded before the Lord and cried to God and said, Lord, would you please have mercy and save my family, not for my sake, but for my wife's sake and for my children's sake. And so the fact that God spared me, and this is why I want to warn people, please, like, I knew better, and God, you know, decided to still forgive me and give me another chance, and someone that has been through the system. And one thing I want to say is, when I went through all the, you know, counseling that I went through, the 15 years court-ordered counseling, the group counseling, you know, I went through, you know, a lot of my sexual deviancy, but one thing I wasn't able to talk about really was about what happened to me in the shower at 5 years old. And so the key for me is, right after this happened, I was looking for some counseling, and that's when I reached out to you, Mike, and I called and emailed you, and I was going to do some couple counseling. And my wife, you know, unfortunately wasn't comfortable with it, but your website was huge, because you have so much information on your website, and I just ate your website alive, if you will. I was just reading every part of the article I could, every part of your book that you put in your website, and it was so key for me, because it allowed me to get also to my root of what happened to me at 5 years old, you know, for my grandfather, and what I felt was a violation sexually to me, even if that wasn't his intentions. And so that was a huge key for me to get to the root of my pain and to really be delivered and set free and to start walking and to walk. And so I just want to say that to those who are listening, please do not play with this. You've got to get help, and don't be afraid. You know, share with someone that you can confide in, a safe place. You don't want it to go as far as it did with me, where I almost saw, you know, after God blessed me, after all these years of praying for finally what I wanted, you know, a wife and a family of five children, and my faithful, beautiful, just amazing wife, such a wise woman and a woman, you know, with character and just virtue. I mean, this is something you do not want to play with.
You had mentioned you got angry at the world, angry at churches when the whole COVID thing was blowing up. And I think this is a key point, because when I hear that, I think this is warfare, because the enemy knows how to attack with hatred and with anger. And once we get off on that road, anything can happen. And we live in a time where that is manifest everywhere. Anger at politics, and you can't get two people to agree on social media. And I'm talking believers too. Talk about that inflection point. Basically, when the enemy was coming at you with his anger, and how to deal with that for somebody who's listening.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I know that, you know, the Bible says to be angry and sin not. And sometimes the flesh feels like, you know, we want the Bible say to be angry and sin a lot, but it doesn't say that. So, you know, anger, and going back, you know, to what I talked about, you know, our last episode, a lot of that anger, you know, was built up towards my father. And so if we don't have a way to release that, that could be a problem. Now, at that point, I'd already forgiven my father, but that's something that I still want to work on and go further on, is, you know, how to, you know, better manage my anger. And so, so although I've learned, you know, from early age, because my mom always told me, you never physically act out, you know, you never, you know, hit a woman, trying to, you know, figure out how do you express that anger was a challenge. And so at that point, you know, again, not having, you know, the church, not having, you know, the men's meeting, my brothers for support, anger, if you just let that oh my goodness, like get deep in your heart, then all of a sudden you're just motivated by selfishness and just rage. And so for me, because I didn't have that, you know, help and how to, you know, deal with my anger at that point in time, I went to what I was used to, which was, you know, lusting and sex. And it's just, it could be a really brutal cycle. So.
And doesn't that, some of this go back to putting ourselves in a place of surrender and release?
Yes.
That I have no control over politics, over COVID, over anything. God, I surrender. I'm not going to carry these things. I release them all to you. How would that have helped you?
Oh, tremendously. And that's the thing. If I would have spent like the time in prayer that I needed to with the Lord and to really just ask him to help me and cry out to him at that point, instead of, you know, acting out in the flesh like I did, wow, we would just had one part of the first episode and that's it. I wouldn't be sharing this part of the episode. When we you know, get before our needs and we, you know, Jesus said, you know, cast your burdens on to me for, you know, I care for you. Like, you know, those who are heavy burden, you know, come to me, I'm easy, you know, and, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so, humbling ourselves is a key. And yes, that was a problem. Pride came in. I thought, you know, out of everything that was going, okay, fine, I'll go ahead and I'll start a Bible study in my home. And part of it was pride. And I had, you know, looking back, I have to ask the Lord to forgive me for that because it almost cost me, my family, you know, just from, wanting to do something, you know, part of my heart, it was good. I want to do what I want to do is to help others. But frankly, part of it was pride. And I was motivated by being out of anger. Mm. So.
Well, part of what I noticed today is if we spend too much time in the news with politics or anything, I need to take that in tiny doses. Because I noticed that I start taking a bigger drink of that stuff, it can start affecting your mood.
Yeah, and I have to be frank with you. I used to follow some alternative news sources, and I don't follow them as much anymore just because there'd be times where I'm just like very getting too fired up, a little bit angry. I remember, you know, at times I'd be sharing with my wife and my kids and I could tell, you know, it's just becoming too much. And my wife's like, nah, let's just stop, right? Let's stop talking about it now because, you know, it stirs things up. I believe that when we really do pray and we just seek the Lord's face, we can be at peace no matter, you know, who's in office, you know, and it is a challenge, you know, at times because, you know, we have our, you know, everybody has their own strong, you know, deep convictions and values. But if we try to, you know, bear that burden, oh my goodness, where it's just, yeah, that's not going to work at all. It's going to end not good. So
I've shared how I was molested by my mother and went through physical abuse myself growing up. And what God has shown me is there's layers to healing. So maybe one layer, and a critical one, is that we forgive and release. But as we go along, he may peel back that layer and show us, okay, this is another layer, level of your wound that I want to heal that's affected your core beliefs, your coping mechanisms, whatever. And you had a lot of profound damage done living with a father beating your mom. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, just to elaborate, really what happened and in regards to how that healing took place, you know, it was pretty brutal, some of the things I saw. And I remember one time being in the middle of it and my dad threw a chair at us and my mom, you know, put her arm out to, you know, try to knock it away from us. But what happened is when I was in church, Mike, it was probably – I was only like about almost 6 months into the Lord in my new walk with the Lord. And I saw a gentleman with his two sons, and they were holding hands together, and they were worshiping the Lord. And in my heart, you know, I said, Lord, you know, I really, you know, would like, you know, a father and have a relationship, you know, with a father in a healthy way. And I remember I went to the altar. And when I was at the altar and I was kneeling and I was praying – you know, I had the music going and stuff. And all of a sudden I felt on my left shoulder, someone's like right hand on my shoulder, like praying for me. And so I opened my eyes and I looked to the left over my left shoulder and there's no one there, but the hand is still on me on my right shoulder or my left shoulder. And I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, I'm your father. Mm. And I'll never forget that. And, boy, is he my Abba father. And I'm so grateful and blessed by him. So what ended up happening is, the Lord began after that. It was probably only a week after that. He said, you need to forgive your father. And I said, Lord, how dare you? How dare you say I have to forgive my father? You know everything, you know, all the pain he's caused to me and my mother and our family, you know. And he's like, yeah, but I also know all the horrible things that you've done as well, and I've forgiven you. And I remember what, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, that, you know, if you do not forgive, you know, others your trespasses and your Heavenly Father will not forgive you yours. And so I was like, okay, Lord. And so I remember at that time, my sister started reconciling with my father, and she told me how he's a really cool guy and everything. And so so I decided at that point to call him. And I remember I just called him and said, I didn't call him that. I, you know, just said his name. And I said, you know, I just want to ask you to forgive me for holding bitterness towards you. And I want to say I forgive you for all the things that you've done. He's like, oh, okay, mijo. And then I was like, bye. And I hug up the phone. And that planted a seed, because as I was hearing more cool things about him from my sister, it was about probably 6 months later, I reached out to him and just touched base with him a little bit. And then it was on my 21st birthday. He called me up. And he was the first one to call me up on my birthday and say happy birthday. And that really meant a lot to me. And so I picked up the phone and spoke with him. And interesting enough, he just is like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just mowing the lawn. You know, my grandma's on. He's like, would you like me to come over and help? I was like, sure. So he came over and helped. And he's like, would you like to go for lunch? I was like, sure. So we went for lunch. And at that time, we were talking over our meal. And I asked him, I was like, you know, let me ask you, Dad, have you ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Mm. And he was like, yes, actually. And let me explain to you. He was like, it was only about 6 months ago. I was at work and this gentleman was telling me about it. And I remember, you know, praying with him to receive Jesus as my Savior. And he was showing me his arm. He had like the goosebumps on his arm. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know what? That's around the same time when I called you and asked you to forgive me and that I forgive you. And he's like, yeah. So at that point, it was such a blessing. Now, my father, our relationship is not rude. I'd still like it to be, but we do have a way better relationship. You know, I don't talk to him as much as I, you know, would like to, just because we have a different personality and interest. But he is, praise the Lord, born again. I wish if he was a regular, you know, churchgoer, but I believe in God for him to get there. So
you talked about how important prayer is. Is the modern church a house of prayer?
No, we obviously know not. There are some churches that do pray, but it's very short, you know, usually, you know, right before the service starts. So there needs to be definitely more prayer. And I do want to share before I forget that by the grace of God, Mike, it was around 6 months after I started looking at your website and stuff. So February of 2021 has been the last time I intentionally looked at pornography. And I just want to encourage someone, especially with my background, knowing all the sexual junk that I've come from, I just want to let someone know that, please, you can do it and you can resist the temptation of that. And it is through prayer. It's through prayer and being humble before the Lord and being in the Word of God regularly, consistently. And making sure that you do have that accountability. And I am humbled to say that I do have the honor of leading a bi-weekly men's accountability prayer Bible study group at my home. And that helps me a lot to keep accountable. So
TJ, we're at the end. Take 45 seconds. Anything you want to say?
I just want to say thank you again, Mike, for having me. It's just an honor and it's a humble blessing to share my testimony. And I share my testimony with you who are listening to let you know that God never gives up. The way that God has showed me grace, especially the grace that he showed me through my wife, and he has given me a second chance and many more chances before that, I just want to let you know God has not given up on you. So please, if you're dealing with any kind of lust, sexual addiction, adultery, you know, with pornography, anything, seek help. Blazing Grace is here. Mike is here. His team is here and are willing to help you. And so just know that you're not alone. And also, I should say around that time when all this happened, I almost committed suicide. So those who are dealing with suicide, you know that you're not alone and the Lord loves you, and don't give into that spirit.
Thanks for mentioning that about suicide, because that's becoming a more prevalent problem, and that speaks to the intense spiritual battle that we are in today. So, and that's why we have people like you coming on and talking about the intense spiritual battle. So, my friends, we live in a dark time today, and like he was saying, prayer is so critical. Understanding spiritual warfare and how the enemy attacks, even with things like anger and hatred, is critical. And we start buying into the idea that this is us. The enemy knows how to throw them darts and get us falling down the hole. So we've got to be very careful with what emotions we allow ourselves to buy into. And I'm going to out TJ for a moment and tell you that out of the blue, 6 months ago, he came to me and offered to start calling churches locally here in Arizona. So he is doing that. So thank you, my brother.
You're welcome.
And we're out of time now. And thank you for joining us, my friends. And we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.